Welcome again to our series on David and Solomon. The two kings, perhaps, are the best known in the history of mankind and certainly in the history of Israel. We are considering in this episode a segment in the life of King David. Now, King David, as we've already said in episode 1, was anointed by Samuel to be king. But on the throne, there was another man, King Saul, who was rejected by God because of his disobedience. And David had now been selected in his place. But Saul was nonetheless still king. David, still a stripling of about 17, 18 years of age now, and in fact, Saul had invited David into his household. His prowess as a warrior was so good that even at a very young age, he was made captain of Saul's armies. But this was a period that opens up in the life of David that is very important for us to understand from a spiritual point of view. We could say, and taking it from the book of Revelation, that there are three actual periods in a man's life, in a Christian life. One is when he's called, second when he's chosen, and third, being proven faithful in the office that he's been called to. Now, at an early age, King David was anointed once by Samuel with a horn of oil, signifying God's good pleasure in him. He found a man after his own heart. And David had proven that he was indeed the anointed by slaying Goliath. But he was still very young. And you see, in spite of this prowess as a warrior, there had to be a deep work done in David's heart to indeed make him, if I could say this, right to be king over Israel. His character had to be formed. He had to learn the ways of God. And it's interesting that this is what we might term the wilderness period in David's life. And each one of us are going to pass through a wilderness experience where we are being trained by God, formed by God, for indeed the purpose and the ministry that he has for us. It's a very difficult period. It's a period of heartaches. But here, David in the house of Saul, and here he has become the son-in-law to Saul by reason of the fact that Saul gave unto David his daughter Michal to be his wife. And yet there is a problem. You remember in episode 1 we said that when David was anointed, the anointing of God that was upon Saul lifted, and it was replaced by an evil spirit from God, a spirit of jealousy that vexed Saul at times. This spirit of jealousy worked particularly against David, because Saul knew full well from the words of Samuel that he had been rejected as king over Israel, and that his neighbor, David, had been the one that was chosen. Well, Saul had a divided heart. In one sense, he absolutely loved David. He loved David with all his heart at times. And then when this evil spirit came upon him, he became so jealous that at one time he took a javelin and hurled that javelin at David, missed him, but he intended to kill David, because here was God's successor who would take the throne from Saul. Well, Saul had a son by the name of Jonathan, and Jonathan and David were, if I could say this, just like brothers. They absolutely loved one another. In fact, David said of Jonathan, "Thy love is greater than the love of women." And that certainly mustn't be interpreted in a homosexual sense. But it is a sense of appreciation, a deep, if I could say this, soul bondage and link between them. They loved one another. They had the same ideals and so forth. And Jonathan, because of his love for David, indeed knew exactly what Saul was going to do. And he warned David at times to flee. Well, this started a period of perhaps 10 to 12 years when David had to flee for his life from Saul. Well, his first stop in the wilderness was in a cave that perhaps we have heard of from our Sunday school lessons. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verses 1 to 2. It's called the Cave of Adullam. The importance of this cave was the fact that men of war came to King David from all over Israel, about 400 of them. Not a large army compared to the huge army of Saul, which he commanded the whole army of Israel. But there were 400 men that came with David. But do you know the description of this ragtime army? Well, they were those who were in distress, those who were in debt, and those who were in discontented, who were discontented. You know, I suppose I'm speaking to some pastors here. Would you like a church filled with those in distress, those in debt, and those who are discontented? Well, I think you would throw up your hands and say, "Oh God, why have you given me such a congregation?" That's a congregation that God chose to give David at this time. You can imagine their murmuring, their complaining, their bitterness, that it must have filled the ears of David. And David wanted Solas, and instead of having Solas, he had these discontented ragtime group around him. But David, if I could say this, was a man after God's own heart, and he had a vision, and his vision, of course, was to free Israel from the bondage of the Philistines, who time and time again rose up, you see, against the lawful inhabitants of the land, Israel. Because after all, God, who owns the whole earth, had given to Abraham a promise that in him, you know, that and his seed, God would give that land of Canaan, which we call the land of Israel today, from the River Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea, from the Euphrates in the north to the River of Egypt in the south. And so the Philistines were in that land. Well, they rose up against Israel from time to time, and you know, David had in his heart to subdue them. And although Saul was indeed, if I could say this, king seeking his life, yet David had a higher vision to free Israel. And so, with this ragtime army of 400, he heard about a town of Keilah that was being oppressed and robbed by the Philistines, And so David started off with these 400 men, and he delivered that town and those people from the Philistines. And you would have thought that they would have been so grateful, and that David would have been a real hero in their sight, and they would have protected him. But you know, David was a very wise man. In fact, we're told that when he was even in the house of Saul, he behaved himself very wisely. And I just want to say this, that if you're in the house of Saul, spiritually speaking, whereby someone over you is very jealous, and someone over you hates you, and so forth, how important it is to behave yourself wisely. Be careful of your words, your actions, and let them be governed by God. Spend much time in prayer so that you know how to behave yourself. Well, you see, normally I would have said, well, this town would have received David with acclaim. He had delivered them. But you know, David was very wise. He said to the Lord, will they tell Saul where I am? God said they will. And then he said, will they give me up to Saul? God says, yes, they will. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? You can bless a person, but that doesn't mean to say they won't betray you. And so he fled from them. Well, here is Saul again in a rampage. He has the army of Israel, and they come out against David. You know, God is directing David. David goes down one valley with his men. Saul are in another valley. There's a mountain between. They can't see one another. But then David and his men go into a cave, and they stand on the sides of the cave. And to their amazement, Saul comes in to that cave, and Saul, unaware that David and his men are there, and unprotected by his army, because the army's outside the cave, Saul lays down and goes to sleep. And as he slept, you know, David's followers said, now, this is the time when the prophecy of God is to be fulfilled, that God will give you the necks of your enemies, and God will cause you to triumph. They said, rise up and kill Saul. David said, no. But David did cut off the skirt of his mantle, and as he did, his heart smote him. You see, although Saul was indeed a very wicked man now, yet he still was the anointed and the appointed of God. In other words, he was the man in authority. And we're told in Romans chapter 13 that all authority is by God, and we have to respect authority. We mustn't touch those who are in authority over us. We must obey them in whatever category they are. And David said, you know, as he cut off the skirt of the mantle of Saul, his heart smote him. He had touched and violated, if I could say this, this man of God, this Saul, although he was backslidden, and after David. And so David and his men got out, you see, and then when Saul came, went out, and David said, look, I spared your life. And Saul looked at him and said, I know now that you are more righteous than I am, David. And that is so important. Now, we have to be more righteous than those that afflict us. Well, Saul said, I know now that you will indeed reign, David, after me. And he went away. And he promised at that time not to afflict David anymore. But you know, Here he said, I know that thou art a man more righteous than myself, and that thou hast rewarded good, whereas I rewarded evil. And they went their separate ways. But it wasn't long after that Saul, that spirit of jealousy, started to vex him again. And he came out again after David. Well, again, God protected David, and Saul could not find him. And it was as though a valley separated them. Night came. Then we're told a heavy sleep from the Lord came upon Saul. You know, there are these occasions in the Word of God when a heavy sleep comes upon people. It came upon Adam when God took a rib from the side of Adam and made Eve. It came again upon Abraham when God made a covenant with Abraham that he would give unto Abraham and unto his seed Isaac the land of Israel. And then we find this heavy sleep came upon Saul and all his army, and David on the other side of the valley saw that, and he said, who will go down with me to the camp of Saul? And one of the great men of war, Abner, said, I'll go down with you, David. And they went down, remembering that the army of Israel is under a heavy sleep. So David went down, and Abner said, now is your opportunity. Now is your opportunity, and you can slay Saul. But David again said, no, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. And he took the spear that was, like to say that, by the head of Saul. He took it away, and, you know, his canteen, his water bottle, and crept away. Came the time, the rising of the sun. Saul got up, his army got up, and then David hailed him from the other side of the valley, from the other section, and he said, look, he said, I could have killed you. And again, Saul had to recognize him. And the reason why David would not touch Saul, it was this. David said, the Lord shall smite him, not me. And this is what we've got to be very careful of. You know, if we're in a situation in the house of Saul where we are afflicted by others, let us learn this lesson deeply, that we must not touch those over us. We must not touch the wicked. We must remember that they are there appointed by God for our instruction. Oh, David learnt so much during this wilderness time. He learnt with great confidence the ways of God. Humility and meekness, gentleness was developed in his life. And also he was very cognizant that he had to hear from God constantly. He had to not only be filled with the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit, but he had to be led by the Spirit. And you know what it says in Romans chapter 8. Those that are led by the Spirit, they fulfill the righteousness of the law. And you see, there is going to be times in our life, wilderness times, when we're going to cry out and we're going to say, how long, God? But David had this vision. He was going to be king. And God was going to look after Saul. And David would not touch him. So that all that God had planned in this encounter, in this time, when Saul was oppressing David, would be fulfilled in the life of David. Well, what happened? You know, there came the time when the work in David had been well nigh completed, if I could say this. And so there comes another battle between the Philistines and Israel. And again, Saul is dead afraid. And he goes to a witch of Endor, which he should not have done, and says, "Bring me up Samuel." Well, this is one of the extraordinary things in the Word of God. And actually, Samuel arose. And Samuel said, "Why have you disquieted me?" Because in those days, paradise was on the, if I could say, surface, under the surface of the earth, hell being right in the depths. And then it wasn't until the Lord Jesus came that all the Old Testament saints arose with him. But before that, they were just under the surface of the earth in paradise, waiting for the resurrection of Christ when they would be caught up. Well, anyway, Samuel came up and he said to Saul, "You have disobeyed. God has rejected you, and tomorrow you will be with me." Well, Saul went out to battle the following day, and Saul was mortally wounded. And just as David had said, God smote him, not David. You let God take care of your enemies. Don't you touch them. They're there for your good. In fact, one of my friends wrote a book called My Beloved Enemy. They're doing a wonderful work in you. I was in a place where everything was well, except for one person who afflicted me like Saul. In fact, God said, "He is Saul. He is your Saul." I said, "God, take him away." God said, "He's doing more in you than all these good people." And I had to acknowledge it, because I had to pray and pray and pray before I met him, often twice a week. Well, there was my Saul, or one of my Sauls. But anyway, so Saul was slain by the Philistines under the hand of God. But David, there was still one more thing that God needed to accomplish before he could be raised to the throne. And that is the famous event called the Battle of Ziklag, if I could say that. And David had been fighting the battles of the Lord against the Philistines, unbeknown to the Philistines. He'd been slaying town after town. And then he comes back to his own town of Ziklag, and to his amazement, he finds that the Amalekites that Saul had not slain had indeed ravaged the town, taken all the wives, all the children, all the stuff away. And the people with David were so discouraged, they thought of stoning David. Can you imagine a lower place? Here, he's lost everything, and now the people with him are thinking of stoning him. You know, a greater man, well, if I could say this, a man of less greatness than David would have capitulated and given up. But David called Abiathar the priest and asked God the question. And he said, "What shall I do?" And God said, "Pursue them and you'll recover all." And he went down to the camp of the Amalekites. And there they overcame them, got all their families back, all the booty, and all the booty of the Amalekites, slew them. And then, do you know, someone came to David and said, "Saul is dead." Did David rejoice? No, he didn't. He mourned. You know, it's a solemn warning, if I could say this, in the book of Proverbs, that we must not rejoice when our enemy suffers. But David mourned for Saul and Jonathan, his friend, who had died too. And then he inquired of the Lord, "What shall I do?" And God spoke to him and said this. He said, "Go up to Hebron." Hebron, the place where Abraham, Isaac and Jacob were buried. The saints of bygone years, the patriarchs of the nation, buried. He said, "Go up there And there he was anointed by the tribe of Judah to be their king. And it's almost, if you look at it very carefully, it was only about 3 days after they were thinking of stoning him that he was anointed to be king over Judah. How dramatic are God's deliverances. Joseph, you know, in the prison, next few hours, he was the second ruler of Egypt. God's deliverances are often very dramatic. And so it was. Saul was slain. He got everything back. And now, as he went up to Hebron, the whole tribe came to him. And they rehearsed the prophecies that Samuel had spoken over to him. And now David was king of Judah. And we want you to believe that, you know, you go through a wilderness experience, but it says that we are chosen in the furnace of affliction. And there they anointed him for the second time, because he was the chosen one. He had proven out in the wilderness. The work had been done, and now he was equipped in God's eyes to become the king. That which God had promised, he was now ready to assume. And may God grant that that will be so in your life as you pass through your wilderness experience. The promises that God has given you will be realized. And I do trust that if I could say this, you will not only be called, but you will be chosen of God for what he has for your life. May the Lord richly bless you and quicken this precious message to you from the life of David. God bless you.